We are starting a new series called Loners, Not Owners. And the whole idea, we're going to be doing this for about 3 weeks, and then we will be starting our 40 days before Easter. So amazing how quickly time continues to move forward. But looking forward to how God would want to speak into each of our hearts as we look at this particular concept about the importance that really God owns it all. Now, it's one thing to say that, and it's quite another thing to live that. And so we're going to talk about what that looks like if we really believe that God owns it all, and how does that impact our lives. There's been a lot of things happening here. It's a very busy week, some great things that God has accomplished, and we're very grateful for that. Let's bow together for prayer. Father, teach us in these moments that we share. Help us to hear your voice, not mine. Help us to be faithful to all that you want to call us to, in Christ's name. Amen. It's been probably about six years or 7 years now that we have stopped passing offering plates here at Christ Wesleyan. We really kind of began that whole journey. If kind of bring you up to speed if you're relatively new with us. Read the book called The Blessed Life. And it was about 6 weeks that we were going to talk about how God owns it all and how we respond to that and what that looks like. I was really intentional. I've had it told to me before that if you preach on giving and take the offering up afterwards, the offering is bigger than when you take the offering up first. And I was like, oh boy, that really feels like manipulation. I'm not at all comfortable with manipulation, so I'm sorry, I can't ever do that. In fact, during that 6 weeks, if you can remember, and we're here, how many of you were here during that 6 weeks? Okay, how many were not? Okay, look at that. Yeah, okay, pretty amazing. And so if you were here during that 6 weeks, I was very intentional, and I said, I really don't want your guilt money. So I'm not going to pass an offering plate at all. We're going to put receptacles by the doors, and people can just put their money in that. We kind of did these big vases that we stuck there by the door. They were a little hard to get the money out of, but we managed. But we said we're going to do this for the whole time because I really don't want people to feel like they need to give because they feel guilty. It's a joy and a pleasure to give, and I wanted people to understand that and see what God could do in their lives as a result. And so I preached those messages for 6 weeks, and our giving like just went just off the charts. It was amazing. And so we committed ourselves from that point on to never pass an offering plate again. And so we made a very clear decision that we were not going to. I can remember the first challenge that came, and that was Pastor Appreciation. And we always pass an offering plate and people give toward the pastors for Pastor Appreciation. And I remember our secretary and our board, Annabelle Dietrich, she said, Pastor, do you think we should pass an offering plate for that? Nah. I said, well, no. I said, no, we're really committed to this, and God can be able to take care of this, and we're just going to have to work it out. We received our largest pastor appreciation offering we ever did, which that time. Christmas Eve, we always take a big offering because we like to give it away and didn't want to stand in the way for that. And so once again, we kind of wrestled through that and said, nope, we need to just make this a commitment and stick with it. And we had our largest Christmas Eve offering we've ever received that year. God continued to work in his people to be able to accomplish. And so we started buying the book, The Blessed Life. It's the only book that we give away at our bookstore. And so all we ask you to do is sign a card that says, I will read it, because we don't want to make sure we're just passing out books. But if you'd like to get a copy, you can go to our bookstore and they'll give you a free copy. It's not free to us, but it's free to you because we believe it's an investment in helping you understand the value of God owns it all and keeping that as a priority. It's been a wonderful, wonderful journey as a result. And so today I want to talk about the fact that the earth is the Lord's. Let's read it together. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all its people belong to him, for he laid the earth's foundation on the seas and built it on the ocean depths. Everything in this world is God's. And so we don't give because God needs it. We give because we need to learn how to give. Because when we are giving, we're most like God. When we're giving, we are most like God. Because that's exactly what God does over and over in our lives. There's a great importance of understanding that we don't own it, God does. So it's not ours. I read this to you. Maybe you've heard it. It's a story of a woman who had finished her shopping and returned to her car to find four men inside it. She dropped her shopping bags, drew a handgun from her purse, and with a forceful voice said, "I have a gun and I know how to use it. Get out of the car." Those men did not wait for a second invitation. They got out and ran like crazy. The woman, understandably shaken, quickly loaded her shopping bags and got into the car. She just wanted to get out of there as fast as she could, but no matter how she tried, she could not get her key into the ignition. Then it hit her. "This isn't my car." She looked, and indeed, her car was parked four or five spaces away. She got out, looked around to see if the men were near, loaded the bags into her own car, and drove it to the police station to turn herself in. The desk sergeant, after hearing her story, nearly fell out of his chair laughing. He pointed to the other end of the counter where four men were reported a carjacking by a woman with glasses and curly white hair, less than 5 feet tall and carrying a large handgun. No charges were filed. She thought it was her car, but really it belonged to someone else. The truth is God owns everything. He owned that lady's car and the one she mistakenly got into, and he owns everything we call ours as well. Such an important, important lesson that we all have to learn. I don't know, you've probably seen, I was in the Walmart parking lot some time ago, and there was a woman walking around with her remote going like this. But she was carrying a suitcase. I'm not really sure what she was doing, but she was dragging it around going like this. And so I felt so bad. I said, "Ma'am, like, can I help you?" And she said, "It's around here someplace." I said, "Would you like me to try to find it? You don't have to carry your suitcase around." She said, "Okay." So I took the remote and I moved a little bit and I saw the lights come on. It was right by the door. She said, "I don't know how I didn't see it there." And I thought, wow, and she's driving. The fact is, as we learn, there's a lot for us to be able to learn about the fact that God owns it all. When I gave myself to God, there's an importance of understanding what he wants to teach us. The scripture says, "For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." He bought you with a high price. God owns us. And so that means God owns all that we have. And that's something that when we gave our heart to Christ, when I gave my life to him, I've got to remember. You see, at one time, I did not belong to God. I can remember very clearly how I lived my life, and I did not belong to God. The scripture says, once you had no identity as a people, now you are God's people. Once you received no mercy, now you have received God's mercy. So once I had no identity as a people of God, a person of God, I was my own, and I really didn't consult God. In fact, I really tried to ask my questions. I went to college and really trained in special education. That was my undergraduate degree. And so I went, and so when I got out of college, that's when I actually gave my heart to Christ. And that's when God began to really change my life. And so my first question was, wow, God, I didn't even consult you or ask you at all about what you wanted me to do with my life before. I need to really understand, what do I need to do and where do you want to direct me? And so I realized now life is very different because I'm not my own. I'm God's. And so that's going to be very different in my life. So at one time, I lived my life to please my own desires. So it was like, what was in my priority? What was in my choices? What did I care about? All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. But our very nature, by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. And so we used to live this way. This is how life was. When I give my heart to Christ, this is no longer how I live my life. It's a different world from that point. You see, at one time, I believed all I had was mine, and I just lived for me. So what was important to me? What I did. But see, when we give our hearts to Christ, that's no longer how we live. We don't live in that same way, in that same place. We live different lives as a result. Scripture says he died for everyone so that those who believe, who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. So that's not where I live anymore, just living for myself. Instead, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. So I have a new focus, a new life. You see, but when I gave myself to God, I realized I now belong to him. And so whatever I do, whatever I have, whatever choices I'm making, whatever direction I'm going, I'm going to think I belong to God. I'm not my own. What does that look like? I am a loner, not an owner. It's really different when we think about that. I was always trained and kind of grew up that if I borrowed something, I gave it back in better condition than when I took it. That was how I was always, because it wasn't mine. I grew up in a parsonage because my dad was a pastor, and I heard this often, and he only meant it in a right way, but he would often say, don't leave the lights on. Make sure you turn the lights off because the church, this is the churches, and they take care of that. Now, it could have caused resentment, but I knew my dad's motive, and I knew he kept thinking, this is not ours. We lived in a parsonage, so it wasn't our house. We lived in, you know, a situation. In fact, I can remember one guy coming into my dad's garage and taking tools out of it. And I said, what are you doing? And he said, well, this belongs to the church. I said, no, it doesn't. It belongs to my dad. And he said, oh, same difference. And he just walked away with tools. And I was like, yikes. But my dad would have probably just said, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. Because he really did live with a mindset that everything belonged to God. The fact is, that's the mindset that we all have to have. Whatever we have, it belongs to God. We have to remember that we don't give an offering, we bring an offering. It's really God's. We're bringing it back to him. It's not really something that we even own. So there's an importance. If we live, it's to honor the Lord. And if we die, it's to honor the Lord. So whether we live or die, we belong to the Lord. So I have to train myself to think about that. I have to train myself to remember everything that I have is God's. Because all I have is his. I am the loner. He is the owner. Say that with me. All I have is his. I am the loner, he's the owner. And you know what? You may have to repeat that to yourself. Have you ever seen how some people care for certain things? Maybe you've been in their house and you were uncomfortable to sit down because everything around you looked like it might break. I know we've had our kids in those houses and they've invited us over. And I was like, oh, if they touch anything, I think it's going to break. Our house was pretty well kid-proof, and we'd kind of moved everything back or whatever to try to help that. We're kind of in the process of the next level. We have a grand dog, and so we don't have grandkids, but we do have a grand dog, and so we have to grand dog our house whenever he comes because he's big enough to be able to just take things. But the thing is, we would always be like a little bit on edge with our kids because we were fearful. The fact is, it's not even because they treated us differently, but it's how we kind of felt. We just like felt uncomfortable. I have seen people that kind of went off the deep end with their prized possessions, whether it's the car or whatever happened, and they were so particular, they just... And I thought, you know, God doesn't own that. You can tell when God owns something and people will let go. Now, I'm not saying we shouldn't care for things. No, we should. We should make them last as long as possible. We should be careful with things, and especially careful with other people's things. And if we could remember, I have to be especially careful with God's things. I'm going to make choices and decisions. I'm going to be cautious. Because he's the owner, I'm the loaner. If he is the owner, then this is certain things. I have to remember, this is not my body. If he is the owner, this is not my body. This is God's. And so he says what? He tells us in Scripture, don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and as was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself. So my body is God's. It belongs to him. And so I have to trust him with the care. I have to trust him and realize I care for this body because it's God's, not mine. Maybe it makes us think a little bit more of how we care for this body when we realize it's not ours, it's God's. If he is the owner, then this is not my stuff. All the things that I have are not mine, they're God's. James Dobson always said, the more things you own, the more things own you. It's really easy for us to get into that kind of a mindset where we have to have more and we have to continue. The fact is, what I've got to remember is that all that I have is not mine. It's God's. After all, we brought nothing with us when we came into the world, and we can't take anything with us when we leave. Scripture, you've never seen a U-Haul coming along behind a hearse. That's what they tell me. The fact is, because you can't take it with you. And if we're going to store up treasures in heaven, that means I'm going to give as much as I can possibly give before I get there, so I can be able to see how God can be able to continue to work. If he is the owner, then this is not my time. It's not my time. All that I do, like, do you ever notice when you put God as the priority, you're able to get more done in the same amount of time as when you said, I don't have time for prayer. I don't have time for devotions today. I've got so much to do. You don't have time not to have those because you'll be amazed at how quickly God is able to help you get accomplished all the other things when you put God first in your priorities. So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools, but like those who are wise. Make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. The fact is, he has called us to be able to realize it's not my time. It's also not my gifts. If God is the owner, then this is not my gifts. I have to remember that whatever gift I have, whatever ability, it's God's. And that's why he's given each one of us specific gifts. He's given you abilities. He's given you gifts. He's given you ways that you're to be using them for God. Are you using them for him? Because the scripture said God has given each of us a gift from his great variety of spiritual gifts. Use them well to serve one another. That's what we're here for. We're here to serve one another. And so God wants you to use them. You will be amazed. Don't let fear hold you back from using what God has given you. Don't let time hold you back from using what God has given you. Don't let anything, because if God has given to you, you will only find great joy when you start using it. And that's why he calls each one of us, because all I have is his. I am the, he is the, and that's what I have to remember, whatever it is. I always say, make sure you remember, God is the one who signs your paycheck. It's not your boss. You may think that is, but you're serving God. So your work and whatever you do, it's God's. Now, when God is the owner, it frees us. That's what God wants you to understand. If you can just get it through our thoughts and our heads to say, wait a minute, God is the owner. I am the loaner. So it frees me then in my journey in a lot of ways. For one, it frees me to give abundantly. I can give incredibly. We've gone through a number of different times in our own lives with Sharon and I. And when we've done some of the capital campaigns that we've been able to build and we've been able to move forward, we've made commitments during those times that just seemed like, I'm not sure if we can do that. But we said, you know, I really feel God's Spirit telling us that's what we're supposed to do, so we're going to do it. And God was always faithful, always worked through it, helped us to do things that we never could have even envisioned. I can remember when we first started Meadowbrook and the teacher salary, and some of our teachers are still with us after 35 years, and the teacher salary was below poverty level. It's not too much different now. But I remember that, and I remember thinking, oh, and I said, Sharon, how would you like to be a missionary when we started? And she said, well, I always thought that would be great. I said, well, we're not going to have to move away, but you're going to live like a missionary. Because that's where we're going to be, and we're going to do our very best. And we started Meadowbrook, and we kind of worked at that point. The fact is that in spite of that great sacrifice, we were able to buy our first house. We couldn't even figure out how that ever happened. But God took care of us. We were able to give abundantly, and God blessed us incredibly. And I just want to say that that's the freedom that God wants you. He really builds in our giving, our tithing, our weekly kind of giving. He builds that into us so we can be able to be free from being possessed by money. Because money controls us. And the love of money is love of money, not money. Love of money is the root of all evil. It really destroys marriages. It destroys homes. It destroys all kinds of things. So what I need to do is get my priorities right in my giving, and then I find freedom in how God wants to work through that. He said, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. Now, that's scripture. That's what God tells us. So whatever level you're giving, that's what you're going to be getting. And it's not always physical. It could be spiritual. It could be ways that God's going to work in your life, in your marriage, in your family, in your children, in your circumstances. He's going to work in ways you never believed could be possible. But that's why we have to see you, what you give will determine what God, how God gives back. Give sacrificially. I really feel there's such an importance of making sure. We see that over and over through Scripture. When people gave sacrificially, how God honored that, how he worked through that. I love the Scripture as it shares. He says, now I want you to know, dear brothers and sisters, what God in his kindness has done through the churches in Macedonia. They are being tested by many troubles, and they are very poor. But they are also filled with abundant joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. For I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more, and they did it of their own free will. They begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. They even did more than we had hoped, for their first action was to give themselves to the Lord and to us, just as God wanted them to do. So it doesn't matter how much you have. It's the heart. It's your willingness to give. It's your willingness to sacrifice. It's your willingness to say, I'm not the owner, you are. Now, I really feel there's a great importance of learning how to prepare to give. I try on a regular basis to set some additional aside, past my tithe, past an offering, set it aside, and I continue to put that aside. So when a time comes when there is a need, I'm already prepared to give that away. That's what God calls us to do, calls us to make sure we're thinking in that regard, planning, and seeing how God can be able to work through that. It's always been a joy for me to give. It's always been a joy for Sharon and I both in that way, because God has blessed that. Give joyfully. I want to say, if you are grudgingly going to give, keep it. I'm serious, just keep it. If you're going to complain and grumble about your giving, just keep it. Because God doesn't want you to do that. And I know you never heard a pastor say, just keep it. But I'm serious, I'm really serious. God calls us to give joyfully. Do you know in the Old Testament, there's a great passage in Scripture. When they were building the temple, the people gave so much, they had to say, okay, stop giving, guys. We already have enough. Now, you've not heard that. But the fact is, they were so joyful, so excited about that giving. You must each decide in your heart how much to give, and don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to make sure that's the case. Give beyond all expectations. Do you know, in the scripture, Jesus said, if they ask you to go 1 mile, go 2. Do you know why? Everybody had a 1 mile marked from their house. Then when the Roman soldiers, it was law, they required them to carry their bags for 1 mile. So what they do is they would put, here's my house, and I have a 1 mile radius around my house. And this is what I'm going to have to do. So when a soldier comes and says, carry my bag, I'm going to go 1 mile, drop it. And now I've done my job. No more. Jesus said, when they ask you to do one, I want you to do two. Why? Because I want you to go beyond expectation. Because when you start on that second mile, nobody's making you do it. You're doing it just because you want to. And it gets lighter and lighter all the time because you're going beyond the expectation. I want to say that's what God calls us to be able to do. He wants to free us from being possessed and owned by money, to be free to see what he has for us. Here's what happened in Exodus. They went to Moses and reported, the people have given more than enough materials to complete the job the Lord has commanded us to do. So Moses gave the command, and this message was sent through the camp. Men and women, don't prepare any more gifts for the sanctuary. We have enough. So the people stopped bringing their sacred offerings. Their contributions were more than enough to complete the whole project. I want to say how grateful I am for a body of Christ that gives so generously. You gave generously. At Christmas, we gave $25,000 away to our community. You gave about $12,000 to buy blankets for refugees in Iraq. The list goes on and on of ways that you have reached out. The work that was done in Ethiopia, we shared because you have given. The work that was done in Guatemala and those 80-some people who came to Christ, you shared in that because you gave. We always take out a percentage of everything that comes in to give away in that way. God continues to work beyond our expectations when we're fully surrendered to Him. It's important that we would remember, all I have is His. I am the loner. He is the owner. Let's pray. Father, thank you for each one that is here. Thank you for incredible stories of work that you are doing in Ethiopia, Guatemala, within our world and around us. Thank you for the great things that you're accomplishing. Father, it's such a joy to be a part of it. We ask that you would help us to always remember that we're not the owners, we're the loaners. You've given this to us for a little while, and when we give back and we bring back to you, it's a joy and a privilege. Help us this week as we would continue to refresh our minds and hearts. Whenever something comes, we just remember, well, I'm the loner. You're the owner, God. What do you want to do? Let that be our prayer. Let that be our heart and our desire to serve you in even greater ways. In Christ's name, amen. May God bless and go with you.